Blog Talk Radio.
I get our disclaimer in before everybody starts yelling on what we are and what we're not. But how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, you know, just sitting here working on some LSC media stuff, some of my pro radio stuff, you know, constantly keeping up on what we're doing on Black Crime, so I'm already looking at stuff for next week.
All right, cool. And I want to say to all the great emails and texts and all those things that we got about the show, I'm appreciative, although it was a criticism of, you know, being hard on Finesse. You know, nobody is hard on Finesse. He's going to be all right.
Hey, let me say to the fans out there, thank you so much for your support. See, I knew I had some people that was listening, and I was getting unfair treatment on the show, which leads to rule changes. I'm
going to
let SB take it from there.
Oh, wait, okay. So we have a rule change. And I try not to be influenced by outside forces, but we have a rule change. If we throw a flag on Finesse or raise a yellow card or whatever we do, Finesse has an opportunity for a 30-second appeal. He gets to challenge the ruling, and we're going to give you 30 seconds to tell us why we should change the ruling. And then, if it's overturned, you can say whatever you want. How about that? But you only get one per segment. So
okay.
Whatever the topic is, you only get one challenge to your overturn.
I'll take that.
Okay. I was going to say, because we can't take a timeout away from you, so that's not working. Oh, you know, what I want to say before we get started is, you know, over the weekend, you know, Cedric Williams and David Fielder, the son of Donnie Fielder from the Donnie Fielder tournament, was here.
Yeah.
And so apparently there's been some barroom argument on the Donnie Fielder tournament on when it started and when it didn't start. So I want to correct those people who all claim that they were on the first Donnie Fielder and all that good stuff. I and Coach Dean, ABA, former ABA coach, Coach Dean, was on the first youth team that won Donnie Fielder. So I know when it started. So we went through that a little bit, you know, Cedric Williams. We had a barroom argument about that for about 2 seconds until I went, looked in the attic, and brought them my trophy. I gave it to them. They're doing a documentary on it, so good luck on that, David. But I just want to tell you, the proof is in the pudding. And I'm sure Charles can find his. So... We just want to stop the barroom argument. I don't know. I can't remember who the older kids was back then, but we were, you know, late junior high school around that time. So
you need to ask Coach Dean.
Oh, Coach Dean was younger. You know, he was a couple years younger, but he was on the team with us when we won the very first Donnie Fielder. I think I was like 14 or so. And
I didn't know you were on the Donnie Fielder tournament.
Yeah, we won the very first one. And the funny thing about it is there was an argument. I guess they were saying where it started. And the first Donnie Fielder tournament was in Kirk Park. And they used to have a tennis tournament. I think Charles' older brother, his brother Dwayne, was in the tennis. And Donnie Fielder passed, I think, on the second tournament. because he was terminally ill, so they started the Donnie Fielder tournament. And after that, it became kind of a Donnie Fielder memorial tournament. So if you want to get into the naming of it after he passed on the second year, I think, of the tournament. And then they moved it to Wilson Park, and then moved it back to Kirk Park 1 year, and it's been at Wilson Park ever since.
Wilson Park, that was off of Fayette Street, wasn't it?
Yeah, Wilson Park. Well, Wilson Park is near Pioneer Homes is Wilson Park.
I thought Donnie Fielder tournament one time was over there off of Fayette, too.
Yeah.
For the folks who don't know, we're talking about in Syracuse, New York. You know, every area that's good in basketball, or every state basketball has one of these tournaments. Donnie Fielder was ours in New York State, upstate in Syracuse.
Oh, that's right. And it did blow up, become a really large tournament. But, you know, with nostalgia, everybody tries to claim that whole championship thing. So it does say on my trophy. Back then, by the way, they didn't give every kid a trophy to make them feel good.
No, they sure didn't. No. The only ones that I remember, because I played football and our dad was coaching, and I think that was back for Wilson Park, Pee Wee. And then they gave a trophy for first and second, and that was it.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But
and I think
for now, you know, how to give everyone.
Yeah, now they're trying to give everybody one. Come out, good sportsmanship. What a bunch of crap.
Right. Nice socks, trophies, and all that. But, you know, I digress. I just wanted to give them a shout-out for that, because they're doing a documentary, and you know how we feel about history and preserving history. So, I gladly gave my trophy to them.
You know what? And they could do the same thing at cheerleading. I think there should only be two trophies.
Wait. Is this going to be our first black-on-black crime that you're about to commit tonight?
No, I'm not committing the crime. I think there should only be two trophies, the winner and runner-up.
Okay, I guess technically we're talking about across the board, so it wouldn't be black-on-black. You don't care who it is, there should only be two trophies.
Yeah, there should be. I mean, they give a trophy for first, second, third, fourth, fifth. They don't need a trophy.
Okay, well... Please send your letter to Finesse. They're not giving a runner-up Oscar. That's true, because that whole lie about just being nominated is half the whatever. We won't even know.
Don't even get me started with that. That's a whole other story.
We won't even start that. All right. So on that note, I just want to remind you, you can call in. You can join us when we jump into any of our topics. Our call-in number today is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. And just remember, and you know what, we try to be a little conscious about this. And I know it's a holiday weekend, so you have to keep your comments relevant and avoid profanity and vulgarity and obscenity, or you're going to get muted or booted. So, you know, if you want to join us in chat, send us email, BOBC@soulofsyracuse.com, or hit Finesse in on the social media.
BYOB.
Yeah, BYOC. Not bring your own bag. Black on Black Crime. BOBC. Black on Black Crime at soulofsyracuse.com.
Bring your own booze.
Bring your own booze to Black on Black Crime. So, all right, so before we get to the show, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and Finesse is going to tell us the first topic that we're starting off today. But we do have our main topic is LeBron James versus social media. And we're going to talk about all the people who are still hating on him after Olympics, after leaving Cleveland, at, you know, the media issue with him, wanting to create a villain in the NBA. We're going to talk about all that after we come back. So is there anything you want to throw at them before we come back and talk about our first topic?
Oprah.
You were talking about Oprah.
Black crime. Yeah, we're going to talk about – I sent you the link. I got to talk about Oprah. That was the other story.
You know, Ness is wrecking the show early in the program. So we're going to take –
I'm going to give you – you're going to see what my black-on-black crime is for Oprah.
Okay. All right, so we're going to have a black crime. Hopefully it's not Oprah committing the crime, but you never know.
Oh,
I don't know what Oprah did.
Well, I'm not going to say anything.
We're not gonna say anything. Okay. All right. Well, we'll be back. We're gonna take a break, and we'll be back after. We'll give you a public service. No, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
When you can make a person smile when they taste the food that you cook, it does something to your heart. I think what people like most about the grill food is the taste. The flavor comes from that oak wood, the shrimp, the fresh fish, the steak. It locks in the flavor, it seals in the juices so that when you put the fork in it, it just goes through it like butter. It's beautiful. I'm proud to be a grill master. I love food. My name is Charles Temple. I'm a Red Lobster grill master, and I see food differently.
I want to see more serious political conversations starting to happen.
I want corporations out of the government, and I want people back in.
I want peace rather than militarization.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want economic justice.
I want to be able to speak my voice without jeopardizing my job.
I want a greater regulation of the banks and the markets.
I want my kids to have a job and health care.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
You're white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the Bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your whites to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your whites back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime on the ACN Network. That's Ask Kathleen. Our dial-in number is 909-265-9189. See, I almost forgot that fast, Vanessa. All right, so jump into it, our first topic of the show.
All right, first topic of the show, and I welcome everyone that's out there listening. And keep this in mind. Black-on-black crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider about white people or anyone else. Now, normally, we're always defending Oprah, even though we may not like some of her practices, but we're always defending Oprah because she's criticized for some of the things that she does. Whether it's just or not, that's up to everyone else. But in this case, Oprah has committed the black-on-black crime. Here's why. Robin Roberts, one of my favorite people in media, love her to death, started off on SportsCenter, became the host of Good Morning America. She's taking a leave of absence to deal with her illness, and she's going to be gone for a few months. Shouts out to Robin Roberts, hope you feel better. One of my future wives. and
are you
Good
Mormon?
Morning America.
Sorry. Go ahead. My bad.
Say that again?
No, I said, are you Mormon? But that was just a, never mind. Go ahead. My fault. I ain't want to commit no crime.
You didn't commit a crime. You didn't commit a crime.
Okay,
I'm warning. But anyway, she is, you know, she's going to be gone. And what Good Morning America said is, Robin, we're going to welcome Robin Roberts back as soon as she feels she's better and she can come back to the show. Good Morning America is the number one morning news newscast in the morning time. So congratulations to them on that. What ABC has said, well, we're going to get different hosts to fill in, a variety of hosts. And they got a variety of hosts like Chris Rock is going to come in the morning time and do some things. And there's a few others. Here's where I have the problem, and this is where Oprah comes in. They have asked Oprah to sit in as the host of the morning time. Now, I know people are saying, well, finesse, well, what's the black-on-black crime? The black-on-black crime and a friendship crime is this. Gail has been in the shadows of Oprah Winfrey for many, many years, always been a supporter of hers, done whatever she needs to do. Gail is on CBS Morning News, which is in second place right now. Looks like they're moving into first place because that morning news program is absolutely wonderful. I split between Good Morning America and CBS. Gail is one of the anchors on or hosts on the CBS Morning News.
Okay.
For me, Oprah being, this is your home girl, why would you agree? You can step back and you can say, no, I'm not going to do this. Why would you contend with Gail in the morning time? For me, that's a black-on-black crime because, one, that's your friend. And, two, Oprah can make that decision. You know what? I appreciate it. Thank you, but no. That is, for me, and that's direct competition. CBS and ABC, direct competition. And Oprah is on in the morning time. People are not going to watch CBS because of Oprah.
You know,
you're going to pull away ratings. I know Ron probably won't disagree, but I want you to see it from that side.
Well, okay. So I was going to disagree because I remember the story of Oprah sitting in for Robin Roberts, but I, for some reason, didn't realize that Gail is completely opposite of her. So you're right that I know Oprah has a relationship with ABC and probably is supporting Robin Roberts, but I'm going to have to agree with you on this one. That is a black. She directly went up against her friend. And I know everybody thinks it's money and all of that other stuff, but technically, I don't know. All right.
Why not sit in for Gail? Why not sit in for Gail when Gail's not there? And see, yes, that's your relationship. Gail has done everything Oprah has asked. Now, I don't know. You know, I know they're probably still friends. Or maybe Oprah's salty because Gail left, you know, being her sidekick on her serious radio format. I don't know. But for me, you know, but that's like me saying I'm going to schedule a show on Blog Talk right at the same time as Rome Show.
Oh, you could, but see, here's the thing. If it was, well, no, I see your point. So if we split the show and did Black on Black on two different networks at the same time, yeah, that probably wouldn't. I mean, we're simulcasting, but if we were saying if it was a separate show, I can see where you're right about that. And
right, because what you're doing is she's actually going on a competitor, and that's her homegirl Gail. Let Gail get some shine. You know, you don't have. You know, it's not like Oprah needs it. Worry about your own network because the O's having problems.
Well, okay,
show on O. If she was hosting a show on O, that's totally different. But she's going on Good Morning America, which goes against CBS.
Wait, but does she get a pass for the fact that it is not Gail's show technically? It is like a host of, like, it's three people on one show and three people on the other. Can we really count that
doesn't.
As her going against Gail?
Yes, because it's the morning show. Gail is on, they brought Gail on that morning show for what? To bring up the ratings so CBS can be number one.
Right, but she's not there by herself.
Charlie Rose is there. But that still negates it because Oprah knows it. It's not like it's on at a different time. It was at a different time. Okay, I don't have a problem with it. But when you're going against your friend, somebody who helped you out all you need to help, and you're going that direct competition, and ABC is doing it because why? Because they want the ratings. We all know that she's in TV. It's not like she doesn't know it. That's
right.
Your homegirl, Gail. Period. That's a friend first. And then on top of that, you come in the black-on-black crime.
You're right. Okay, I'm going to have to agree with you, being that there's only, like, usually one black person on TV at a time still. So the reason that it's a black-on-black crime is because it's not like I'm sure if NBC can move up Hoda or somebody. I mean, I know, what's his name, the weather guy.
Al Roker.
I know Al Roker's over there, but even as they got rid of Ann Curry, you know, their diversity is a little lacking. So Oprah going directly up against Gail, that is problematic. I would have to take a pass. I'd have to take a zero on that if you put me up against a friend of mine, let alone it being a black-on-black crime if you just knew them. It still probably would be one, but that is a little worse. You're right.
Right. Now, if they, you know, it'd be different if say they came and got you,
uh-huh.
And they want you to host in the morning. That's totally different because you don't know Gail.
Right.
And we all know anyway that they put certain faces on to compete with other faces when they know they're doing good. But my whole thing is I'm looking at Oprah and I'm saying, yo, that's your homegirl out of anything else who's done everything for you. And you decide to go against her, and then on top of that, you're black. She's black. That makes it a black on black crime because she's your friend, and on top of that, you're going against her, and you know it.
Yeah, but you know what would be tough? It's just not just that they're friends. It's because, I mean, Robin Roberts was there, right? And so I get they're replacing a black person with another black person, but specifically your friend. So, like, taking
right.
somebody out of your house got to be a little bit different just to say, all right, let's use Gail, let's use your friend against you. Because you know how that goes with ratings, is that if Gail's ratings go down, they're going to get rid of Gail.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's Nielsen
right.
time in September, right?
Exactly.
We're going into the year. So using Gail, yeah, you're right. I didn't see this coming. I was not going to agree with that, but being that they're in two different networks, Oprah probably should have took a pass.
Should have took a pass. How many times have, you know, like you said, the rating period starts, you ain't started for the fall season. It runs right through, I think, the middle of November. When the holiday season comes, they don't pay attention to that. So
right.
you're coming on, and Robin's probably not going to come back probably till 2013. You're
okay.
coming on, and this is your homegirl who's done everything else. She finally found her niche. She's getting her chance. And I'm going to tell you something. I love Robin Roberts, and I have been watching Good Morning America, but I am in love with CBS, not only because of Gail, because I've always known Gail was good, Charlie mm-hmm. Rose, what they did with that morning show, awesome, and how they decided to put it where everybody's on even keel, where you just don't have, you know, one person ask a question, you got two or three. You know, it is really great, and they play to everybody's strength. And that,
right.
and you're able to see what Gail is all about, which people just think that she's, you know, a clone of Oprah. You know, she never really got a chance when they gave her own show. She always wanted to do her own thing, her way, and she finally get a chance. And here Oprah says, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and host. Because I don't like the fact that you ain't doing my show no more. And I'm just going to be in direct competition because I need you to come back and help me with Hope. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, but yeah, in Oprah's defense, I'm going to defend Oprah, right? In Oprah's defense, I'm going to take Dave Chappelle's role in defending Oprah, just because he's rich, I guess. But so the thing with Oprah is maybe she's just not thinking that way. You know, some people are kind of naive to think, oh, no, I'm just going to do this show, and it doesn't matter if Robin was here, if it was me, I'm looking out for Robin. So in Robin's
Dude.
Case, you would do Robin a favor, but you're directly going against another friend. So,
and you know it. It's not like the morning show coming on at a different time. They both come on at the same time.
Right. So I'm going to have to give the Oprah defense of saying maybe she just wasn't thinking. Maybe she just didn't think about it.
You know, that's
she was a pawn in somebody else's game.
Whatever. She still got time. She still got time because we do know people listen to Black on Black Crime.
Oh,
but she
right.
still got time.
If
she shows her face on the air in the morning time, any time between now and November,
mm-hmm.
she's wrong.
Okay. Well, you know, you have a point. So I'm going to agree with you on that. I'm going to agree with you on that because I don't have anything for you. Now, we're going to ask in the chat, Kathleen, anybody else out there, if you have a comment on this story, you can actually call in at any time or send us a message because, you know, I got nothing. I can't defend Oprah, and I agree. She was actually wrong for going against her friend. Now, I know we have some folks online, so if you hit one on your phone if you want to join in, that's fine. We're going to talk about LeBron versus everybody else in the world, so we know that that's going to take a second. But the call-in number is area code 909-265-9189. You're listening to Black on Black Crime with Jerome and Finesse. And, you know, later on in the show, we're going to talk about Finesse. What you had something else that we were going to talk about.
My sound off. We got a new segment of the show. We're going to do sound off where, you know, I take a few minutes to try to do some education or at least try to get you to think on something, and maybe hopefully it'll affect some lives or some mindsets.
All right.
Mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Esprit, I do have some good black on black crime.
Okay.
That has now been resolved, and hopefully we will get the shows that we wanted to see. And I got to send a shout out to Jay-Z for putting this together this past Sunday. This was the first time in over 10 years, the most dynamic hip-hop group ever. I've seen them live in concert. and they do a heck of a concert. Run DMC performed together. They squashed the beef. They did a 40-minute set, include Tricky. Run putting on Adidas for My Adidas. They did a version of Walk This Way. And Run said after the assassination of Run DMC, we kind of put the group on hold. There was a lot of beef and whatever. What they did was they brought out Jam Master Jay's son, two of his sons, and they, TJ and Jason, and they were the DJs for the show. And it looks like we may finally see, and if you haven't had a chance to ever see Run DMC live, 2013 may be the year you may get a chance to see it. So that's a good black on black crime. They squashed the beef. Instead of beefing at each other,
okay,
they've gotten back together, and hopefully we'll see something turn out. And once again, shout out to Jay-Z for making this happen.
Oh, it was Jay-Z who put that together?
It was for Jay-Z's,
for his charity stuff.
Yes, for his charity.
Foundation, yeah.
Got the name of it. Made in America Festival. That's what
it was. Oh, okay. Okay. And I just before we go any farther, I want to give a shout out to Kathleen Williams. Check out Ask Kathleen on Ask Kathleen Network on ACN on 8 o'clock on Sundays. And Kathleen just watched Serena Williams, and she just said, what's up with Oprah and Gail beef? But so we're going to summarize the Oprah and Gail story. Finesse, can you summarize that for Kathleen?
Well, here's the deal. Robin Roberts, as a beloved Robin Roberts, the co-host of Good Morning America, is taking a leave of absence to deal with her bone marrow disease. She'll be out for some great length of time. The good news, they found a match. Her sister is going to be doing that for her. And in the interim, they are going to get a series of people to step in Robin Roberts' place. You know, you got Chris Rock, which I think that's going to be really funny. And if, you know, you got the Modern Family, the cast of Modern Family is going to be on there. But the interesting name came up was Oprah.
Yeah.
And Oprah and Gail are friends. Gail has done everything for Oprah. Anything Oprah has asked for, she's done it. And the one time that Gail gets a chance to shine, Oprah decides, you know, well, I'm going to do the morning show on Good Morning America, and that's going to be your competition. And I think that is so foul. That's a friendship foul among anything, but it becomes a black-on-black crime because you know this individual. It's your friend, and you still commit the crime by doing it. Oprah doesn't need the money. This is one that she could have took a pass on and let Gail continue to get her shine.
and Kathleen is asking, is that black on black crime? See, you know what? If she was on, we'd be muting her right now. She says just now. She's not making. I'm.
I can't hear you wrong.
Okay. Okay, I guess we're back on air. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're having some technical difficulties on the network, so we'll take a quick break and we'll come back right after this. All right. We're back after our technical difficulties. We all got bumped out of here. So, Finesse, what's up, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. All right, you're here. I know. I saw the comments in the chat room going, okay, what happened to you? Where'd you go? So we're going to move on. We talked about Oprah on our for Black on Black Crime. I just want to welcome all the listeners who are dialed in, who are on the line to the show. You know, we do the show every Monday at 2 o'clock. This is Black on Black Crime, as defined how we define Black on Black Crime. All right, so it's a little bit different. Black on Black Crime is when Black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other Black people in areas that they won't consider about white people or anybody else. So on this program, our feature segment is LeBron James versus the social media world. And I mean, because of the way Black on Black Crime works, there are always a lot of Black folks criticizing LeBron because of the negative impressions of the decision. I know we don't really agree with that, do we, Finesse?
No, we don't. And I'll say this, because I like LeBron James. He plays for my team, the Miami Heat, now. But I thought he was a great basketball player. But I'm not a huge fan of LeBron James. So I don't want people to think, oh, you're going to be defending him because you're a fan. No. So that we get that out of the way. So when we get into this piece, you guys will see it and understand.
Okay. Now, though, over the years, I've watched him, and I wasn't really a fan of his at all. But when he left, I actually watched him a little bit differently, like when he came to Miami. And actually, I am. Like, I realize all the records that he's broken and just his dominance and the pressure of just being in that position and still excelling is amazing to me. And first of all, I'm going to read this news story as we get into the segment. And it's the reason that I wanted him to be in this week's discussion. It says, fresh off of leading the U.S. men's basketball team to a gold medal in the London Olympics, LeBron James was praised this week during a minor league game of his recent accomplishments, his MVP award, the NBA title, and the gold medal, and for giving back to Akron for his Wheels for Education initiative. And that initiative provides inner-city kids with supplies, programs, mentors, and it says above all hope. And LeBron says, you know, I was always one of these kids. It means everything to me to be able to give back. I have passion for it. I love seeing kids smile. And for them to have something can lead them to something that they can lean on. And he said, for me to be in a position to be able to help out and give back means a lot. So James received a standing ovation at this sellout crowd at this AA baseball game of the AA Akron Arrows, I guess is what it's called. So James said he would like to play for the Olympics of his fourth Olympics if he's healthy. He said he did the math. He'll be, you know, 31 and maybe in 4 years. But it'll be great to be back out there again, definitely. So, and people criticizing him and his thinking that he's selfish or not selfish. I had the story, didn't hear it on major media. I missed it on my show for 2 weeks. And I said, oh, you know what? We're doing a LeBron story, because if LeBron did something wrong, didn't tip somebody or whatever, everyone would blow it out of proportion to all the work that he's done and saying, you know, Cleveland hates him and he's not doing anything for the fans. He doesn't have to, and I want to make sure that we got that story. So let's start off with the social media world of criticizing LeBron for leaving. We can start that one first.
Well, you know, I want to tie in this story too, because we talk about this all the time. I think if you have the media's attention, you have to come back in and do something for your community. You know, I disagree with all the stuff Charles Barkley has said, I'm not a role model. He's right. He's not a role model. You know, parents or, you know, other family members should be. But at the same time, when you're in the public eye like that, you have to remember you are a role model. What I like about LeBron, and this him even not staying in Cleveland. It still took a lot of guts for him to go back there that same year and still do this, do his fundraising and his to run his program, Bicycles for Kids in Need, the whole learning program. He still went back there and did it, and his commitment is, I'm from Akron, I'm going to always give back to Akron, regardless of any situation. So for people to hate on him, you know, because he left, we're going to get a little deeper into it because there's more to the story as to why he left. But just to be hating on him because he left, there's no such thing as loyalty from the owners. And LeBron, what people forget is LeBron stayed after his first contract was up. He renewed for another 3 years. So it's not like LeBron ran out on them after the first year or pulled the Stevie Francis and said, I don't want to play in Cleveland. Like Stevie didn't want to play for Vancouver and demanded to be traded. He stayed, I think it was 7 years. It was 7 years he stayed. Yeah, 7 years. 7 years in Cleveland, Ohio, took them to a championship, which I don't believe has ever happened before, even though they lost. And he made that whole city of Cleveland, a lot of areas that are surrounding that area, made them money. You know, having a sports team, having the kind of draw that you do, brings a lot of money to the areas and outlying areas. So people don't need to front at like sports teams don't make money. They bring a ton of money to the area. So he did what he was supposed to do. He gave back to the community by staying there and being a big draw. He also went to Akron, raised money for kids, computers, donated to schools, did a bicycle drive. He's done everything asked for, and he could have been one of those cats. Like we see so many, especially blacks, that don't do anything. He's not in the strip club that we know of. He's not doing any crime that we know of. He is the perfect role model, and on top of that, he wants to be that role model. So I give him props for that. Anybody else, especially black media, those that write and those that write in the blogs, if you're writing anything other than your commentary on sports, which we all can say, you know, like we have Kobe haters, LeBron, that's sports. If you're doing sports talk, that's totally different. But to hate the individual, especially when we big up somebody like Lil Wayne, we should be big up LeBron James.
Right. And you know what? And I want to say about that as well is that LeBron James has not left his community. That is a business. They would have fired his butt at the drop of a dime, and the owner just wanted money. So when they started playing the people against them, oh, he's leaving you. He don't want to do anything for the city of Cleveland. They don't own him. And so I always kind of looked at him as being free. And I know you told me about him changing his agents and all of that stuff. If you look at his actions, I think he is a role model for everybody. You know, when he signed his Nike contract, I know we talked about this before, when he signed his Nike contract, Nike tried to press LeBron James to get a different number. I can't remember what number it was, maybe the number he had in high school. But he was such a Michael Jordan fan, he wanted 23. So he kept saying he wanted 23, but Nike needed to – they wanted to sell a different number other than Michael Jordan's number. So they said, you need to tell us by Friday. So they pressed LeBron James at, what was he, 18, 19 years old when he came to 18. NBA? Yeah, 18. They pressed this kid, and he said, I'm taking Michael Jordan number. He still didn't bend in signing his contract just to be free. So I have to give much respect to him. And if anybody knows, like, stories like that about LeBron, you would see that he's freer than that whole media creating a villain out of one person just to make somebody else look good. LeBron, I have a lot of respect for him. So that's when I actually started really paying him attention initially, but I didn't pay him attention on the court. But even his loss at Dallas, if you look back at those games, it's because he was overpassing. So people say he was scared to shoot because he was overpassing. But he was trying to be a good team player, and now he was deferring to Dwayne Wade and everybody else. And so, you know what? If he would have shot too much, and when he missed the game-winning shot, everybody complained about that. So he can't win. But, you know, that is a black on black crime, just to hate him because it is him. I think people overtly focus on LeBron James. So, when he did the decision, I was on the board of the Boys and Girls Club here, and he gave all that money to the Boys and Girls Club. So all the money that it generated, it still wasn't for personal gain. He was giving it to someone else. So criticize it, but if somebody would pay me, you know, $1 million to make the decision whether I'm going to the New York State Fair or going to Houston, I'll broadcast it on TV. I'll broadcast my decision.
Right. Now, and that's one of the things I may fault him on. Is this, and even now, he says the same thing, was a bad decision to do that, to be, you know, basically throw it up in Cleveland's face. But what people don't know, and I believe it was about exactly 2 years ago when I was doing Love of Spoke Award and Neo Soul Show, independent artist Lion, he was a guest on the show at the time we were playing his music, and the topic of LeBron came up, and he filled in some of the real reason why LeBron was probably going to leave Cleveland. Daniel Snyder, I believe, not Daniel Snyder, that's the Redskins owner, but whatever the owner of
the owner of Cleveland
name is.
Mm-hmm.
There was, because of LeBron's presence, now they were going out making these business deals and they wanted this riverboat gambling. And LeBron heard about it. LeBron wanted to get in on this business deal. And the owner said, no, you stick to basketball, you're not getting in. Once that happened, that was the turning point of LeBron saying, you know what, I'm not going to stay in Cleveland. Because if I can't get in on business, I'm bringing you business, but you don't want me to be a part of business and the growth here, I'm out and I'm done. And
right.
That was the inside story we got from somebody else that's in Cleveland as to there are a number of other things, but that was the tipping point right there.
Now, and actually, I was doing a show and received a caller in from Cleveland who he was right outside of Cleveland, and he told the story as the paper laid it out, where there was a black guy who owned the land across from the arena that the Cavaliers were playing in. The guy who owned the Cavaliers kind of swindled him out of it. And because he was supposed to give the black guy was going to, I think it was up for probate or something, but was going to sell that land to LeBron James, and the owner locked LeBron out of the deal. He didn't only just say, I won't cut you in. He blocked him from getting any piece of it. And they were one of the cities with, you know, Toledo and Cleveland. There's four cities, I want to say Cincinnati, that just recently was allowed to do gaming, to do casinos. And as soon as they got that, it's when LeBron's contract was up, and they would not let him own any of that property where those casinos was going to be. So he purposely did something to LeBron. So LeBron wasn't supposed to love him for doing that. And I think
right.
We don't talk about the business side of sports, but that is the biggest part of sports that, you know, I think people overlook. And I know on your it wasn't your blog, but on one of the posts, that there was this story about five reasons to end multi-million-dollar contracts, the end of the era of the multi-million-dollar contract. I don't know what those five reasons was because I thought it was silly to even talk about it, but the point is that these owners are making millions upon millions, but they don't want to pay the workers.
Billions. Correct that. Millions of dollars.
Billions.
And from talking with Coach Dean, when he did the Coach Dean show, and then Derek Brown, who's going to be doing Derek Brown, the D. Brown Sports Show, and D. Brown was actually involved in being an agent and being a manager. You know, one of the things they both said was, you know, players need to come in and understand the business side and not just come in and want to get paid. They should know everything that's what's going on, and make sure that they're getting exactly what they're supposed to get. And they both said this. You don't need an agent. You need
right.
to understand how much the person, if you're being drafted, how much the person is getting in front of you or how much the person is getting behind you, and figure out your own contract. Now, it's my understanding that I thought that David Stern had implemented a rule that you have to have an agent for your first contract or your rookie when you come out. They won't deal with you unless you have an agent. So I know that's not true after that, because back in 2005, LeBron fired his agent and let his boys now handle his affairs. Ray Allen does the same thing. And there's a few others, you know.
I think Ray Allen actually does his own.
Yeah, he does. He does. He did his back when he was in Milwaukee, fired his agent and did his own. But if you're going to do that, understand the nature of the business. And that's one thing about LeBron that I like, because back before they all decided they were going to play together, that one summer, because it was reported that LeBron, Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and there were a few others, they actually got together because it wasn't about just hanging out. LeBron was trying to educate them on the business side and the different opportunities that you can have, and was also explaining to them, get rid of your agent, do your own thing, take a contract for X amount of dollars and cut off the years so that you can get with your work. And it wasn't no surprise to me when the three of them took a pay cut, because it was all already discussed.
Right.
That's what, no matter, even if they didn't play together, to be smart about the business side of this. And that's one of the things LeBron brings, is his business savvy, understanding the business, and he's trying to help a lot of these young players coming into the NBA. And that's what David Stern and the owners don't like, because now you can't take advantage of folks.
So where is the hate, Vanessa? Like, and you know, I normally don't deal with hate on the show. And by the way, you're listening to the Black on Black Crime, you know, where we discuss unduly focus and criticism on black people by other black folks generally. So where is the hate coming from when you see it on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Google, wherever, that people are criticizing LeBron for being LeBron? Where is that criticism coming from? Because they're not understanding the business, we know that part. But what is the image issue of LeBron that people are hating him for?
The issue is this. It started by the media. It started by the media to sell, you know, for ratings and to get advertisers. And then it's also started by, you know, bringing it down some more. White media, and those are the powers that be, white owners, who are upset because they can't manipulate somebody. So anytime that you have a person of color or you have a woman that can make decisions and know business just like they do, they want to throw them under the bus and come with all this stuff. Spike Lee is probably one of the best directors in Hollywood. But his movies come out, and I had this conversation, which will be up in a couple weeks. I had this conversation a few weeks ago. And this is exactly what Spike said to me. I can't do anything about that, but reach out to those like yourself who can report with an objective mind and objective review. He said, you know, I'm good. I'm in a good place when it comes to that. He said, because I'm not willing to sacrifice who I am just to please them and let them make all the money. And I'll use Spike for an example. His latest movie, Spike paid for everything. He paid for the advertising. He paid to have the movie in the theater. He paid to get the movie out there. He did everything. He's been doing that since Katrina. Why? Because nobody, they can't control Spike. So in the case of LeBron is gaining his business knowledge. And then on top of that, he's employing people that look like him, act like him. So he's in a comfortable situation, and they therefore can do the kind of things that he wants to do. So now he's passing on knowledge, which is something we always talk about, passing on knowledge, especially being black media, passing on knowledge by volunteering in the community. Can't everything be about money? The money's going to come. The money's going to come as long as you have that, you have an excellent product. It doesn't matter. And even in that regard, even if it's not excellent, you look at Lil Wayne. He's getting paid all this millions of dollars because he's hot right now. White media don't care about anything else just because he's bringing money. But you notice there's nothing bad said about him because he's not saying anything worthwhile. When you start saying stuff worthwhile, this is what happens.
Right. So he can have his tour bus pulled over and all of this other stuff happen to him just, you know, generally. But once you start making a stand against, you know, the system, against the matrix, everybody wants to have to be up in arms about little things. Like, I don't even agree with anybody saying about black people giving back. That's silly to me, saying, are you giving back to the community? Of course you are. You're black. So if you help your family and your friends, and that adds to the same community that you came from. So we have this undue pressure of proving that we're doing something. And that's why I thought it was important to read the story, opposed for us just to talk about it, because he does that all the time. I always see stories about the NBA lockout. I know I did this one. During the lockout time, he, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, I can't think of all the people who got together, Carmelo Anthony, and they scheduled like four games. They put together a team. One wasn't going to be in New Orleans, Chris Paul, and one was going to be in Ohio.
One was actually here in Baltimore.
And I think that was Carmelo's, because they all kind of wanted to have their own home court. So each player, Carmelo, Chris Paul, LeBron, and Dwayne Wade, had these places where they were actually using NBA players, and they were just about to start their games when the strike ended. But they said they're missing it out in our community, so they actually put together the games. And so people,
right.
Go ahead.
And they were actually doing, like you said, they were doing it in the community for the community, because a lot of those people in the community can't afford to go to those games. So, and
right.
Again, that's another thing.
Since they were out of their contracts, they didn't have to abide by anything. So in that window, they had a window that they can actually just go play basketball.
Right. They could have easily chilled and did whatever. But they said, we're gonna take our game to the community. They're the ones. They're our biggest supporters. They can't come in the games, and they took it. And they could have got injured. They weren't,
right.
Anything. Kevin Durant, I believe he had one in D.C. because he's from around that area. I mean, and follow suit. LeBron was the one that started it.
Right. LeBron actually put it together. I think he and Dwayne Wade put it together.
Yeah.
And, like you said, he, Dwayne, and Carmelo, and Chris Paul. So once they did that, I think they just started bringing in other people. So, and I actually noticed that even during the Olympic teams, the announcers were kind of like, it's surprising that there's no, like, LeBron doesn't dislike Durant kind of thing, because they shoot together and work out together during the summers. They want him to have an arch enemy. And I don't know if that sells T-shirts or something, but that's the stigma on LeBron. That is all I want to say.
Here's the thing. You go back and you trace, blacks that were assassinated. And I'm not talking about Biggie and Tupac. I'm talking about people like Malcolm.
I was going to do a flag on your Biggie Tupac, but go ahead.
They were killed.
Right.
Murder.
Okay.
But if you go back and you look at, why they were assassinated. See, a lot of people think that because of the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King was doing this and that. No, Martin Luther King, to white folks and white media, he crossed the line when he started talking about the Vietnam War. That's when they
and
this
and he talked about the poor people's march. Like, it was a part of coalescing poor people across the board. Like, when you
right.
start talking about that, that movement, you can't stop.
Right.
Right.
So once he did that, and the speech, Drum Major's speech, it was a wrap for Dr. Martin Luther King right then and there. When Malcolm X came back from overseas and started saying, I was wrong. The nation has just taught me this and that. I was wrong for everything I do. I'm going to be looking to reach out and work with others. It was a wrap. You couldn't have that.
Right.
So they were not dogs. So it's no different now. They may not kill us the way they do, but what they will do, they will kill you in the media. Once you disagree with anything they say or they want you to do, they will murder you in the media. Now, how tough is your skin to endure that? I got to give LeBron James credit, because LeBron was wrong for the way he handled the decision. And I understand
he was not wrong. Okay. I'm going to disagree with that.
Listen.
Okay.
Even LeBron said it. how he handled the decision, how he handled it, doing it on TV. He said he shouldn't have thrown it up anybody's face. That's all I'm mad about. You know, he was wrong about
no.
it.
And
LeBron,
okay.
Wait, LeBron said it.
Okay.
So you can't get mad if LeBron said it. So,
no, yeah, I can. You got mad at Torrey last week for bowing down to MSNBC.
For who?
Wasn't it Torrey that apologized? Was that him?
Torrey apologized? Yeah. But he
no,
still. I said
you get mad.
And that's how
you got mad at him apologizing.
Because Torrey agreed, knew what he was saying, and he believed in what he was saying, and he decided to apologize. LeBron
exactly.
said how he handled the situation he could have handled different, because he did it out of anger because of Daniel Stein, whatever that guy's name is. I can't remember his
okay.
name. Oh, Daniel Stein keep it on my head. So that's only for how he handled that. I believe you. We know the behind the scenes because somebody called into your show, somebody called into mine. So I understand why LeBron did it. He was like, well, you know what? Well, you're doing this, then I'm going to do that. How he handled the situation, he could have handled it better. But other than that, LeBron has really done nothing really wrong. Absolutely
right.
nothing wrong to get the kind of hate that he's getting, but the media has manipulated it because what they always try to tell us is, if you ever notice black folks is doing a whole bunch of different things, this is what they say. You should only be doing one thing. How many times have I heard that? You should just think of DJing. Now you want to go do this, and that. But white
right.
folks can go invent stuff, go host a TV show, put out a book. They can do anything
right.
under the sun. But the minute they want to just make money off of us on one thing, they feel, you need to just concentrate on that. And for Negroes to have that same attitude, like you can only do
uh-huh.
one thing and you can't do something else, that's foul. So don't get mad. You should applaud that person.
Right.
Yeah,
you know what?
I said
you're right about that.
Because I wanted to say something else.
I know you did. That's why I'm laughing. So on that note, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Ask Athlete Network. Your host, Jerome and Finesse, wanted to call them something else. You know, we're going to take a break. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to come back. To wrap up the show, you know, we're gonna go to our next segment, but we're gonna kind of wind it down a little bit, and we're gonna come back with more. I'm still laughing at the fact that you were going to, you know, kind of go off a little bit, Finesse. I just want to tell you.
I was gonna say it. I ain't gonna front.
Well, okay. Well, let's do a quick PSA break just to try to get back to the community because Finesse is about to lose it. So we're going to take a quick break and come back. Our calling number is area code 909-265-9189 if you want to call in and join the program. It's not too late. For those people who are on the line, you know, hit 1 on your phone. We'll bring you in if you have some questions or comments. If you want to check us out on download on iTunes and you want to hit us up during the week with a topic that you want to hear, just send it to Black on Black Crime. That's B-O-B-C. At soulofsyracuse.com. You can hit me or Finesse on Facebook and any other social media or text us if there's something that you want us to add to the program. And I want to, I guess we want to take a break on that. All right, Finesse, you want to add anything before the break?
No, my sound off segment's coming up next.
Okay. All right, so we'll be right back with Finesse on his sound off. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime.
Everywhere are finding ways to keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back to Black on Black Crime with your host, Jerome, and we have Finesse. He's going to come back and set it off in a second. So Finesse is going to do a sound off. Well, what are we calling it, Finesse?
Call it sound off.
Okay, he's going to come back with a sound off. Just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime, area code 909-265-9189. And I'm going to hand it over to Finesse for his sound off on Black on Black Crime.
This is our first ever edition of Sound Off. What this is, pick a topic each week that I think we need to talk about because we don't discuss it. And maybe it affects a few lives, maybe it gives you something to think. Who knows? But the point of the matter is to start the conversation. In the hip-hop world this past week, we lost one of the voices of hip-hop that has done a lot. Manager to 50 Cent, Diddy, Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes, contributed so much to this industry, helped 50 Cent to land that deal with the Vita Water, done great things. Story comes out, he committed suicide. I'm talking about Chris Lighty. But he was also, what the story says, that he was in debt to the IRS of $5 million. Dig a little deeper, find out that he was handling that. He only actually owed the IRS $330,000. But in the midst of that, talking to some different people and reading a few different articles, one of the things that said is, in this business, you have to be a certain way in order to get business and perceive yourself. So whether that means going into debt, staying out drinking or partying with different women, you know, that's all maybe. Maybe it's true for some. But at some point, you have to grow up and you have to set aside, you have to have some kind of moral. You have to start educating yourself about this business. I don't know all that goes on with Chris's finances. I know I'm a Mr. Brother. I met him one time, and I really wish I got a chance to know him. But I will say this, because it's a habit that's in this industry. And as independent artists, I want you artists to understand. This is directed to all you sports people that want to get into sports, all you speakers that want to speak. Understand the business you're getting into, number one. Number two, you start getting this money, have a plan. Get yourself a financial advisor. Don't get yourself down at the car dealership going to buy a car that you're hardly ever going to be in and it costs too much to pay for. Hey, all these cats want to go get these, you know, six-figure cars for what? Invest that money. The majority of people that's in the entertainment, sports included, are broke. The majority of them that are broke are people of color. Why? Because we rather spend money on flash thinking that's the way we should go about doing business. That's not the way. Invest your money so that you don't have to worry about it. So in case you pass away, you are passing on a legacy to your children, which is what white America does. They're able to pass down stuff from generation to generation. We only happen to pass down debt. Stop investing in that stupid jewelry that's only being marketed to you. Stop investing in these high-priced sneakers when they only cost $4 to make. Make sound decisions. I'm not saying you can't splurge, but make sound decisions. Go see something. Go do something. Go travel. Go to Africa. Go to Jamaica. Go to, you know, Puerto Rico. Go to the Virgin Islands. Go to the Bahamas. Go see something and do something with your life instead of just buying stuff that's not important. And that stress gets put on you because you're trying to be something that you're not or you don't have the money to do. Like I said before, money comes and goes. But I'm tired of seeing the statistics. I'm tired of seeing black males dying at a high rate of trying to be something that they're not. This is something that we can take care of if we have these honest conversations. And that's all. And I just want to add this little note because something was just sent to me. They're now ruling, going into an investigation as if to see if Chris Lighty was actually did commit suicide or was it a homicide. So I just wanted to give you an update, but it still was, I felt like, the topic that needed to discuss. Do your homework, folks. Check your finances. Don't be out here getting yourself in debt just to be a show, because what ends up happening is we'll end up laughing at you like we did Hammer when he got in your situation. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Now, you know what, and that was Finesse on his sound off for the week, and thank you for folks that's in the chat room and just came on the line. You can join in, hit one on your line, and you can join the conversation if you have any questions or you want to add comments to Finesse comments or anything. But that technically was his sound off because I would have threw a lot of flags on that one in particular. Because I remember we had this conversation last week. So luckily he was in his uninterrupted segment of his sound off because there was a couple of black-on-black crimes in there.
Hey, well, you notice I didn't get any flags all
day. Yeah. You
I kept my sound off because so I can correctly say what I wanted to say without you interrupting me with them stupid flags.
No. Look, it was uninterrupted flags. But, you know, your flag was going to come in. Again, someone called in last show and talked about, I think it was last show or before then, they called in and said that people need to get their financial house in order before they start making decisions and this and that. And even, and I don't know Chris Lightly, I'm sure I know a lot of people who know him, and I don't like to use individuals' personal situations, but when you have divorce or medical issues and things happen that cause you to have financial difficulty, there is no shame in that. It is like being unemployed. You pay into unemployment insurance, so get your unemployment insurance. Forget anybody who thinks anything less of you because you paid into a system. I remember when I first bought my car, and I said, can you take me to the airport and keep my car? And they said, no, your car is too expensive. I don't want to drive it. And I said, I have insurance. Like, I pay insurance. I don't care. As long as you're okay, that is not my issue. So I don't like looking at finances as a way to define anyone because stuff happens. You live life. People have kids. People get divorced. Things happen. And so that's not a measure. That's not a self-esteem issue. Just in my quantum thinking, you are not supposed to worry about all these external issues. Just be good people and make it happen.
Well,
I'm not contradicting you. I'm not contradicting because what you said was correct.
I know you're not, and I was shocked. But this is the thing. We don't live. We have gone from living in the Negro world, from the colored world, to the Afro-American world, to the African, from the black world to the African-American world. Now we're in a reality entertainment world. This is how they define us, and this is how we're black folks, people of color, are letting people define us by the entertainment standard. If they have that, then you should have that. Because even when it comes to man and woman relationships, the first thing a woman wants to know is what a man has, and the first thing a man is trying to do is he's trying to hit that. So there's no communication. We're fronting just to be seen and to be liked. It's okay to be disliked. It builds character. Like we were talking earlier, it's okay if you didn't win, because if you didn't win, you'll try harder. You'll get better. But when everybody's getting everything and you like them, sort of like the Facebook page,
right.
No one pays attention to a like page. You send somebody a like, they're just going to hear like, yeah, 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 but they haven't paid attention to it. So don't worry about being liked. Be about a person of quantity, about color, about building relationships. Don't worry about just being liked, because it's okay if somebody doesn't like you. Just because somebody doesn't like you doesn't mean that somebody doesn't want to be around you or doesn't want to work with you. So stop worrying about that, and that's what we're so worried about in the black community, that we can't build anything.
Oh, hey, you're about to get your first flag. That's going to be a warning.
I didn't mean it like that. You know what I meant.
I'm not sure. That's why I was warning. For those who are just joining us and see, we have a couple more people in the chat room. Black on Black Crime. Welcome to Black on Black Crime. And what we do on Black on Black Crime is just kind of to, I don't know, a really quick way of saying Black on Black Crime without explaining the whole thing. So we're going to say this. Black on Black Crime is when we overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in the areas that we don't criticize anyone else for. So, you know, we have to throw a flag every now and then if we overtly criticize ourselves in areas that we don't criticize other people.
Well,
all right, with that being said.
We got a question in the chat room.
Okay.
It comes from Bianchi. I'm going to read it.
Uh-huh.
We talked about this before. When foreign immigrants enter into a black population area and take huge segments of the existing money marketplace right from under black nose, shipping the profits away, is that not crime blacks are doing to themselves? I'll let you answer first before I answer because I'm not trying to get a flag.
Okay. Is that not a crime that blacks are doing to themselves?
To themselves.
No. That is not a crime that blacks are doing to themselves. And you have to remember, like, when we talk about black on black crime, we're talking about oppression. And so you're talking about a certain demographics of black people, right, and the abundance of black businesses and how we're talking about zoning and whatever rules that they have when you do business in a black community. It is literally harder for black people to do business in a black community than it is for them to do in other communities. For example, I bank at suburban banks. You know why? Because they don't ask me for ID when I go in there. I just say, hey, the teller's nice. She give me whatever I want. If I go in a black community, they literally now have where they want a thumbprint if you're cashing a check over a certain amount of dollars. And I think it's crazy because if the federal government secures them, you know, for $250,000 FDIC-wise, they don't have any liability or any burden of fraud if it's not over, you know, a couple hundred grand. But black people get tracked a little bit differently, and the rules are tougher even when you want to deal directly with black folks. Now, if we're talking about the mentality of black folks to do business with other black people, we want to still talk about oppression. So I don't know what to think about that. I'm sure Finesse may not agree with that, but that's tough for me.
I'm agreeing, but it depends on how the question is being interpreted. For me, if the person is saying, Bianchi is saying, letting other businesses come in and do business, then I'm not mad at those people for coming and doing it because we allow it. I hear people all the time, I'm mad because these Asian folks, you know, they come in here with their nails on and they treat me like da-da-da-da-da. Two things. You need to go ask the black beauty salon how come they don't have a hair care, nail salon, or go to the nail salon school and say, hey, how come somebody's not opening that business? And then you have to go out and support that business. You can't just complain about it and don't do anything about it. And then on the other hand, for black businesses doing business in the black community, you can't gouge folks. You have to open up on time, and you have to be professional. Let me finish. Because we know of and seen examples of businesses who don't operate in the lines of being professional. And that means opening up on time, customer service, and your prices. That's what I'm talking about as far as that. You have to conduct it as if you're going to Macy's. You expect a certain things out of Macy's. You can't just say because I'm black, you're supposed to support me, and because I'm black, I could talk slang, I could treat you kind of any way. No, it doesn't work that way. If you start doing those things, then people can support. But when you don't, it's hard to support, and it's hard, and I get tired of talking about the same thing over and over because it is on us. If we want better, we got to do better.
Okay. Now, here's where I'm going to say, for the record, Finesse has earned 3 flags, and I just did not stop him. I'm a little gun-shy today, but I'm not going to do this next week. I'm not. There's going to be no gun-shy next week. So next week, Finesse is going to be he's going to be a timeout for real. So if I'm a little flag-happy next week, it's because Finesse committed a couple of crimes while we were just talking. So
I didn't
let it go.
Any crimes.
You sure did.
You can't not do. What crimes did I commit? Let's hear it. And I want I want people to email, text in the chat room, tell me if he's right or wrong.
We are not going to sit here and talk about the least amongst us like that. Like there's no culpability to being in a certain condition. So when you talk about the least amongst you, you're talking about yourself. It's like having people call in and say, black people aren't smart when they do this. Well, you're talking about me, and that's not true. So I'm going to tell you that overtly criticizing black folks is just saying we're nitpicking the folks that's acting in a certain manner, and we're just jumping on them. So all I'm saying to you is that across the board, no other community does that like we do, and so black-on-black crime is not about that, and it is not going to happen. So we
should
talk about that in another
set. And that wasn't what that was pertaining to. It's pertaining to an issue that does happen in our black community. I'm not picking. I'm just saying that it does, and we have to hold ourselves accountable, which is what black-on-black crime is, holding each other accountable for the stuff that we do or don't do. So that's all I'm saying. I agree totally with you. And so that's one of those gray areas where you have to think underneath the hood to see if I did go out of bounds. You just can't. See, you want a replacement ref. You just throwing the flag to be throwing the flag.
Wait. So we have a comment in the chat room that said that those are old excuses. I don't know what that means exactly. But so I don't know if that was from what I said because I wasn't there when it was said. But it says that it is a crime when 87% of black businesses together gross less than, you know what, I'm not reading that. That's a black-on-black crime. They're like they're overtly focusing on what black businesses are doing. They're not taking in consideration that Darden International owns all of the Red Lobsters and Olive Gardens. And that's not, you're not taking him as a black business, even though a black man is the CEO of that organization. You're not taking it in consideration that a black man started Network Solutions where everybody registered their WWW names on the internet. We're not taking those. We're just overtly focusing on poverty, and we don't overtly focus to criticize our folks. And what we do, if you want to come on this show, you can come on this show and talk about why we do that, but it is not about us jumping on folks. So even those numbers, I understand. I look at numbers all the time, but we do have we have a little bit of time left in the show. But I just want to remind everyone, this is no argument.
There are black newspapers that have been around for at least 100 years that are profitable. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those numbers are not accurate. It depends on what those numbers are for. Are you talking about small businesses and small black communities? Because mm-hmm. in bigger metropolitan areas, that's not the case.
Yeah, right. And so if you want to talk about, you can go to Target Marketing News online and check out some of the demographic information on black folks and how many trillions of dollars of expendable cash that we spend and those kind of things. But we are talking about kind of looking at changing how we see the world, and that's a whole another problem. Like we'll have 12 shows on that. But black on black crime, this focus on this program, LeBron James versus social media, Finesse, and his sound off today, and I forgot what our first topic was today. What was our first topic?
Our first topic was Oprah.
Oprah and Gail.
Oprah doing Gail wrong, man.
and too bad we didn't get Kathleen in on that one because Kathleen was going to have a moment with you. And she is our judge. She's like the booth official of the show. So Kathleen was.
She can't be no booth. She's an Oprah fan, so she can't be no booth official on that one.
Oh, that's true. She's going to recuse herself, right?
Yeah, recuse herself from that. I saw her comment in the chat room. She can keep that to herself.
I'm sorry. Did you ignore Kathleen's comment? The
no,
chat room?
We're on Kathleen's network. She's our boss.
That's why I said, did you ignore her comment in the chat? She was going to unplug us on this side. So I'm Kathleen, that's finesse. I'm not kissing up. I'm just saying that was finesse. So next time, so when you start getting your flags next week, we'll know. You're going to just try to call her out saying she's being impartial.
Well, I'm ready for the new rules. I can't wait to call you on the new rules. I get one challenge each segment.
Here's the new rule. Finesse, anytime he's throwing a flag, well, not every time. He can't challenge everything. But if he doesn't think that it's a righteous, he doesn't think it's a righteous flag, he'll have 30 seconds uninterrupted to explain why it wasn't righteous. And if it's overruled, he'll get the fifth thought. But you know what? We try to keep it focused and crisp and clear on black on black crime. So that is the new rule on our flag throwing on black on black crime. All right, is that okay, Finesse? Would you like to amend that somehow? Do you need 45 seconds as opposed to 30? What is it that you was at?
Oh, no, 30 seconds is good. I can prove my point in 30 seconds.
Okay. You know, we haven't figured out if we would extend that to the callers, but because I will mute you in a second, so I don't know how that's going to go. We'll see how that goes. Now, we haven't had Kai in today. I know she's traveling and some other folks, but I do really appreciate the calls from the UK and from other places across the world. So if you're listening to Ask Kathleen's network and you want to check us out, Black on Black Crimes is Mondays at 2 o'clock. We don't know what our topic is going to be next week, but, you know, we'll definitely have to, you know, kind of throw everybody in there. So, you know what? I want to say this to Finesse. We're going to have – we didn't do our top 10 of it's almost like a Hall of Fame of those people who we're going to ban off of our how did we say we're going to do that? We're going to ban them off the show? Is that what we said?
Yeah, well.
It's our racial draft where we're banning.
You can take
if somebody creates a really
–
yeah, if somebody creates an egregious black-on-black crime, we're going to create a top 10 list, and we're kicking them out. How about that?
Right. Yeah, because Run DMC, welcome back. Because that arguing and feuding that they were doing was ridiculous.
You know what? Tell us a little bit about that, because I don't really – no, matter of fact, don't bring it up. That would be a black-on-black crime. But they were feuding for a while?
Say that again?
Were they feuding for a while?
They were feuding for a while. Black-on-black. You know, you haven't seen a Run DMC together in years. Since Jam Master Jay's death, and there was talk then about getting together. Jay was trying to squash whatever the beef was between Run and DMC. But you go back to the VH1 Hip Hop Honor Awards, Run didn't show up. D was there when they were on, even when they did the tribute on BET. Run didn't show up. DMC was there. So there's been, and whatever the beef is between them, they kept it private. Hasn't been out in the public. But yeah, you know, however it worked out, over the years you kind of soften and you think about things. You've been through some things. Life brings you some different challenges. You know, things happen in your life where you start to say, is it worth all this? And then Jay-Z able to come along at the right time, especially with this festival, and to get them together. I mean, I see it, you know, I know there's people that's listening to the show because as I was saying it, they started posting it up on their Facebook pages. So that's great. I mean, this is, you know, we've lost Michael Jackson. We've lost who else? We've lost a ton of people over the last few. So to have this group Run DMC before anything else happens, for them to make peace and go out here and travel the world and at least one more time. You know, I tell people all the time, two shows you have to go see. Go see New Edition. They talk about all the other boy bands. Look, there's nobody like New Edition. New Edition is it, and go see Run DMC. Those are two groups that you need to go see before they decide to hang it up.
Oh, that's true. And you know, I want to throw, like, some bands in there, like Silk and all those guys. Those guys are playing. You still got the old bands that's out there playing. That's still really good bands as well. not just the hip hop. There's some, you know, you want to see, you know, Public Enemy and all of those guys. Everybody who's out, the old school cats that are out there are actually still putting it down. So you're right about that.
Yeah, and that's a whole another show. You know, I just saw the numbers the other day. They're saying that the old school music, you know, and when I say that, I mean all the black music from back in the day, selling more records than any of the new music that's out today. That's a whole another topic.
I was going to say, and so that sure would be school versus new school thing, but we're not going to do that on Black Rhymes, so just wanted to share that. Hey, I think Beautiful Butterfly has joined us on the show, but we're not going to bring her in. I just want to say, bring your show back, Beautiful Butterfly. I used to enjoy her show. And thanks for everyone who's on the line joining us. And just remember, you can check us out on iTunes. Check us out in the archives. Thanks for everybody who joined us in chat today. Kathleen, you know, we have to give it up to our chief, Kathleen. Today you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Ask Kathleen Network, ACN, Esprit Radio, My Soul Radio. And, hey, Vanessa, what do you want to part with today?
Peace, love, and finesse.
Peace, love, and finesse. All right, well, thanks for joining us, and make sure you join us again next week, every Monday, 2 o'clock on this network. Remember, our calling number is 909-265-9189 if you're away and want to join us and check us out. Now, all contents of this program is protected, may not be reproduced, distributed, transmitted, or otherwise published without prior written permission. All rights are reserved. You know, check us out, and we'll see you again next week. All right, peace, Vanessa.
Peace.